Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. But let's read 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Friday morning, November 14, 1986, in room 1123. Was that our room number? 1123 at the Kaler Hotel in Rochester, Minnesota. We woke up in the morning and my wife greeted me with these words. Why does the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Heroes of Faith, begin with Abel instead of with Adam and Eve? Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is, by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand, by faith Abel. Why doesn't it say by faith Adam and Eve continued shedding the blood of animals for coats of skins and so on? Why does the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Heroes of Faith, begin with Abel instead of with Adam and Eve? Well, most of us believe that Adam and Eve had faith in the promise of Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I think that most people agree, believe that Adam and Eve had faith in that promise. I think that that can be borne out in the scripture. When Seth was born, men began to call on the name of the Lord, because the Messiah, the promised seed, that is, could not be Abel, he was dead, could not be Cain, he was a murderer. So they had another son, Seth, and men began to call on the name of the Lord. Hope renewed. Well, anyway, I think most of us believe that Adam and Eve had faith in the promise of Genesis 3:15, and I think we believe that Adam and Eve understood the lesson that God taught them when he made coats of skins to clothe them in place of fig leaves. In Genesis 3:21, he says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. When they sinned, they saw they were naked. And then God questioned them and found them covering themselves with what a lot of preachers call the fig leaves of self-righteousness. And they were covered with the fig leaves of self-righteousness. And then the Lord removed the fig leaves and clothed them with animal skins, which necessitated the shedding of blood. And so we are taught by many that without the shedding of blood is no remission. We're taught by the scripture, without the shedding of blood is no remission. That's a message in the book of Hebrews. But we believe that Adam and Eve understood that lesson and taught it to their children. And why then were they not listed? Not only not listed first, but not listed at all in Hebrews chapter 11. Well, anyway, that's the question my wife greeted me with last Friday morning. And so I ventured to answer her. And my first statement is this. If God doesn't give us the answer in his word, we do not as yet have the answer. When somebody tells you God speaks directly to them, and it's not within the framework of the scripture, you can say, let God be true and every man a liar. God speaks to me. Yeah, God speaks to you, but he speaks to you within the framework of the scripture. He wouldn't speak outside the framework of the scripture. He would never speak to somebody and say, rob a bank. Because the Bible already says, the framework of Scripture already says, thou shalt not steal. The Lord would never tell you to hate somebody. Hate sin, but not somebody. Never would the Lord tell you to hate a sinner. He says, love. And we need to be careful there that we don't produce answers where there are none. So, but I didn't leave it at that. Because I know that sometimes we can learn certain things from what God doesn't say. Okay, we've already been through that in the book of Hebrews. But let's go on. When I got home, I looked in Matthew Henry to see what he said. But that's after I had already given my answer, which is different than his. But I'll give his and I'll give you mine. Matthew Henry believes that, and this is a quote, God has left the matter still under some doubt. Talking about why Adam and Eve were not listed first. I never knew he even said anything about that. I was surprised to see that. God has left the matter still under some doubt as a warning to all who have great talents given to them and a great trust reposed in them that they do not prove unfaithful. Since God would not enroll our first parents among the number of believers in this blessed calendar. That's on page 940 in your Matthew Henry. If you want to jot that down, read it for yourself. So he says the reason they are not listed in Hebrews 11 and not listed first is because they were unfaithful and God would not enroll them among the number of believers in that list of Hebrews 11. Well, I have no argument with that. That's not my point. But I was still in Rochester before I read Matthew Henry, and I answered my wife this way. I said, number one, if God didn't give us the answer in the Holy Scriptures, we can only speculate. And speculation can become very dangerous unless you really know your Bible and know your God. Then I went on and said, honey, if I was forced to speculate on this subject, I would answer, one, the omission of the names of Adam and Eve in this chapter does not mean that they were without faith. Because not all Old Testament believers are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. So to say that Adam and Eve may not have been saved because they were not listed is to say that only those that are listed were saved. Then I said, Adam and Eve can hardly be commended for their eminent faith or their outstanding faith. Adam and Eve can hardly be commended for their eminent faith. I told my wife, they were not created in a fallen state. They were created in the image of God. They were not created in a sinful condition. They were created in the likeness of God, the Bible says. But Abel was born in sin. Adam wasn't born in sin. He wasn't born at all. He was created. The only man that was ever created. Jesus wasn't created. He was born. Born of a woman, the Bible says. So, Adam is in a unique position. The only person, Adam and Eve, ever created. And then we all came from them. Eve is the mother of all living. And we all came through Adam. Genealogies will take you right back there. So, Adam was created in the likeness of God, and he can hardly be commended for his eminent or outstanding or great faith. But Abel was born in sin. And Abel's faith was eminent or noteworthy or outstanding. And then I said, the salvation of Adam and Eve is not in question here. The outstanding faith of Abel begins the list in Hebrews 11, the outstanding faith of Abel. Praise the Lord. Begins the list in Hebrews 11. And then I said, I'm glad that our names can be written in the book of life, even if they are not listed elsewhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then I thought of a fellow named Peter. He is our fellow, isn't he? Our fellow brother. Matthew 14:29. Jesus comes walking on the sea, and they are afraid. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Well, now to me, that's outstanding faith. Outstanding, standing out. He was outstanding. Outstanding faith. The other 11 were sitting in the boat. Okay. He walked on the water. Can you imagine that? Peter walked on the water, it says, to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Well, that's a good, quick prayer, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. But I thought we read of Peter walking on the water. We don't read of the 11. And yet, Peter is told, "O thou of little faith." And I thought, would I have the faith to get out and walk on the water? Would you? Or would we be with 11? I don't know. But the 11 are not spoken of. Does that mean they're not saved? How many think 11 apostles are saved? Yeah, they're not spoken of here. Just Peter's faith is spoken of. He had a little faith. "O thou little faith." He didn't say anything about the lack of faith in the others. Didn't say a thing. Didn't commend them. Didn't condemn them. Just Peter. Just Peter had the faith to get out, walk on the water, and Jesus said, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Well, I don't know where that puts me. I'm not listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Of course, it was written before I was born, but if there's another chapter written, I probably won't be listed. I don't feel like I have eminent, outstanding faith. I'm just glad to be listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. And so, the salvation of Adam and Eve is not in question here. That's not the point. So, without speculating any further, I think that's good enough myself. The salvation of Adam and Eve is not in question here. The outstanding faith of a few people in the Old Testament are listed. There is what's talked about in that chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So by faith, we start with Abel. Excuse me. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And Jesus, in Matthew 23:35, calls Abel righteous Abel. All the blood of the prophets shed upon the earth from righteous Abel. So he was righteous. He was righteous Abel. And I was going to say some more. I'll let that go. I get digressing too much. Praise the Lord. So the list of the heroes of faith begins with a martyr. And I couldn't help but think of Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, when I read that just this morning. "I know to the church of Pergamos, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." Now, surely there was more than a membership of one in the Church of Pergamos. Surely there were more people in that church that were saved and going to heaven than Antipas. And yet Antipas is the only one that's named in the church of Pergamos. Follow me? But his faith was outstanding. His name is written in Scripture. That doesn't mean the rest of the church was lost because their names aren't listed. But our names are on the Book of Life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Let's read the story in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 4, 1 through 8. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Why was Abel's offering accepted and Cain's offering rejected? Why? Some Bible scholars insist that the shedding of blood in the offering made the difference. Hebrews 9:22 says, Without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And Genesis 3:21, we've already read that the Lord made coats of skins for Adam and Eve. It took the shedding of blood to clothe them properly. And most likely Adam taught this to his children. So Cain and Abel both knew these things, we could assume. So that's the opinion of some Bible scholars. There's another opinion, and that is this, that God wanted the first of the first fruits. In Exodus 23:19, we read, The first of the first fruits of thy land. Now God said, Bring the first of the first fruits of thy land. God didn't say, Just bring animals and don't bring the fruit of your land. That's not what he said. He said that, and he said this. Abel brought that, and Cain brought this. Are we to condemn Cain for obeying God's command in Exodus 23:19, which came later? The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. And also, God wanted every firstling. Exodus 34:19. All that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. So God said, I want the first of the first fruits of the land, and I want every firstling male animal. In Genesis 4:3, it tells us that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Did he do it in obedience to God's word? He brought the fruit of the ground unto the Lord. But he should have brought, they say, the first fruit. God didn't ask for the fruit. He didn't ask for your blighted tomatoes and your rotten bananas and so on and so forth. He asked for the best, and he asked for the first. And it doesn't say that Cain brought the best or the first. This is what another opinion tells us. Genesis 4:4 tells us that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. Cain just brought fruit. We don't know what he brought. Maybe he just brought some rotten bananas and some blighted tomatoes. But Abel brought the firstlings of his flock in absolute obedience to God's word. Okay? So that's another opinion. The first opinion, it had to be a blood sacrifice. The second opinion, it had to be the first fruit, whether it was of the land or of the animals, because it doesn't say it was a sin offering. Okay. Third opinion, others say Cain's heart was not right. God said to him in Genesis 4:7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He didn't say if you brought an animal. He didn't say this. He didn't say that. He said, if you do well, whatever that means. If you do well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Boy, that not doing well, that sin lying at the door, that arrogant spirit in which some people bring their sacrifice to the Lord, an abomination to the Lord, he will not accept it. I can prove that. If thou doest well, God said to Cain. Remember, Cain got angry when Abel offered his sacrifice to the Lord and Cain offered his sacrifice to the Lord. There must have been some evidence of God's acceptance and rejection of those offerings. Fire from heaven, whatever. They saw it, and Cain saw that his sacrifice was rejected and Abel's was accepted. And the Bible says Cain was wroth. He was angry. And I like what Brother Wiseman preached one time down at Rush River. I won't bring the whole message out right now. But he said, Cain was angry with God. But he couldn't club God. He couldn't beat God to death. So what did he do? He beat his brother to death. Killed his brother. Isn't that exactly what happens? People get angry with God and they strike out at their brother. No wonder God said he that hated his brother is a murderer. How can you love God and hate your brother? You can't do it. You swing at your brother, you're swinging at God. You can kill your brother, you can't kill God. He'll call us all into judgment one day. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, perhaps even if Cain would have brought an animal sacrifice or offering, it would have been rejected because of the sin lying at the door. Follow me? Even if he would have brought an animal, a bloody sacrifice, it might have been rejected because of his sin. Well, you can say it would have been rejected because sin lieth at the door. Proverbs 21:27 says, the sacrifice of the wicked, no matter how good the sacrifice is, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. That's what God said. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Proverbs 21:27. We can stand up and testify in church how much we love God and hate our brother. God says, that's abomination in my sight. I love the Lord. You just try that at home after you've had a fight with your wife. Talking to you until you talk to me. Whatever, however you do it at your house. In a lot of houses. And you know there's a feud going on. Then you sit around the table. Oh, we love you, Jesus. And hate your brother? God says, you're a liar. That's abomination to me. You lift your hands unto me, hating your brother, hating your husband, hating your wife. That's abomination, God said. We better hear the word of the Lord today and straighten out. Amen. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. We lift our hands in the church hating our husband, hating our wife, hating our parents, hating our children, hating our neighbor, hating a fellow saint in the church. lift our hands and praise the Lord. That's abomination to God. The scriptures bear that out throughout the Bible. Amen. So the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? The New Testament says in 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. You know what I hate? Probably the biggest irritation to the world is our righteous lives. Oh, they can't stand that. If they could just get you to lower yourself to their level, then they won't feel that conviction. If they can just get you to look like them, go where they go, talk like they talk, dress like they dress, and so on. Oh, they love that. You know how I could get into a lot of things today, but there's a lot of girls that just go around with practically nothing on, and the boys are doing the same thing, and they'll defend their stand and criticize you for looking holy and being holy. I think our righteous lives are the biggest irritation in the world to the ungodly. What about Cain and Abel? What irritated Cain? Abel's life, Abel's faith, Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God, and his was rejected. And it irritated him to the point where he killed him. And Christians irritate those with minds like that until they kill Christians. Right? Mm-hmm. Amen. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because he lived a holy life. Because he obeyed God. He did what was right. And Cain, who was of the wicked one, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, the Bible says, they're of the wicked one, you're of your father the devil, Jesus said in John 8:44. That's the unregenerated, unborn again person. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. There's no truth in him. He's a liar. Everything he says is a lie. Partly lie, at least. He's a little truth and then a lot of lie. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slew? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Boy, don't forget that. That's good. The Apostle John taught us that. By faith, Abel offered unto God. And you know, we are living the Christian life by faith. The Bible says so. Therefore, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We're living this Christian life by faith. We believe by faith. The Bible is the Word of God. We believe by faith that there is a God. Through faith, we understand, and so on. All these doctrines that we have, we have them by faith. Praise the Lord. How many here have seen God? By faith, you believe in God. You've had experiences with God. You've had one major experience with God. And you have faith in God. And we live this life by faith. And Abel lived the faith life. Not Cain. He lived an ungodly life. A self life. A disobedient life. God said, do it this way. And Cain said, well, I think I'll do it this way. God said to bring the first, I think I'll bring the second fruit, or the third fruit, or God said bring the best, I think I'll keep the best for myself. And that's the way a lot of people are today, keeping the best for themselves, not putting God first. Jesus said, seek you first, the kingdom of God first. We have to get our priorities straight if we're going to even have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, much more be listed among the heroes of faith. Praise the Lord. So by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Righteous Abel. Praise the Lord. God testifying of his gifts, obviously, fire came down and consumed the sacrifice. It was accepted by God. And by it, Abel, being dead, is yet speaking. Praise the Lord. Abel's life was not lived in vain. He is still preaching a powerful message to us all, to the whole world, if they would listen. Now, really, God's smile of approval is all that really matters. God's smile of approval is all that really matters. What does it matter if you're killed? If you have God's smile of approval? Does it matter if you're persecuted? Does it matter if you're laughed at for your righteous life? Does it matter if you're laughed at for your dress style, your hairstyle, your decency, your refusal to frequent houses of ill repute, etc., etc.? On and on we could go. Praise the Lord. All we need is God's smile of approval. That's all Antipas needed. If I could just have God's smile of approval on me. That's all Stephen needed. They are persecuting Stephen and hitting him with stones, and they killed him. And just before he died, he looked up and saw heaven open. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God, the Bible says. And he called on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He had God's smile of approval on him. That's all that really mattered. And he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And he fell asleep. Praise the Lord. I think fell asleep must mean he's going to wake up. Hallelujah. Abel was righteous. His life, his death, and his faith were pleasing to God. He died for his faith, and he died in faith. So the great difference between the two brothers, Cain and Abel, was that Cain was unbelieving. Unbelieving. And the result of unbelief is self-will. I'll do it my way. How many people want to come to the Lord today their way? I'll come my way. And self-righteous. I'm okay. Maybe I don't need the shedding of Jesus' blood. They come impenitent. Just join a church somewhere. Having a form of godliness. Talked to some people just last night. It broke my heart. They joined a certain church in town here. I've been to that church. Oh, have mercy. There's no faith there at all. Being born again means going fishing. Renewing your body, soul, and spirit by going fishing or playing golf in the summer. They call that born again. I was there when they preached. I can't believe it. Couldn't believe it. They call themselves Christian. Unbelievable. So, the unbelievers have a self-will. The unbelievers are self-righteous. The unbelievers are impenitent, unrepentant. And just to look good in the eyes of society, they'll join a church. And the unbelieving have rebellion in their hearts. Rebellion. Rebellion against the Word of God, which is the same thing as rebelling against God. Yeah. But Abel brought his offering. You can be sure he confessed himself a sinner. He confessed his need of a Savior. And we know his faith pleased God. And we know that God approved of or accepted his gift, his sacrifice that he brought to the Lord. Amen. We asked the question, how did God testify of Cain's gifts? I answered that in part. And I said probably by fire from heaven consuming a sacrifice. Leviticus 9:24 says, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." So God did consume sacrifices from heaven. Genesis 15:17, "And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces of Abraham's sacrifice there." In 1 Kings 18:38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." And we know that's talking about Elijah and his prayer and his sacrifice, or the contest there. And then we have other scriptures that prove that God sent fire from heaven and consumed sacrifices, showing that he accepted that sacrifice. So we assume that that's probably what happened here. Something happened, because the acceptance and rejection of their sacrifices was made manifest there. Something visible must have happened, because the Bible tells us that Cain was wroth. Or maybe the Lord spoke audibly to them. It really doesn't say. We can only do some guessing there. So he, being dead, yet speaketh. What is the message that Cain, that Abel is still speaking to us today? He, being dead, yet speaketh. I think he's preaching a warning to us, for one thing. I think he's warning us to approach God humbly and obediently and in faith, not just doing it our way. Oh, so many want to do it their way. Do it their way. No, it's so simple. The Bible says, and this is the first sermon that was preached after Jesus ascended into heaven. The first public sermon preached was by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. The first sermon preached after the Holy Ghost was given from heaven in fulfillment of the prophecies in Joel chapter 2 particularly, and Isaiah 12 or 28, is it? But anyway, 28:12, I guess. But anyway, people want to do it their own way. And that first sermon said, repent. Is there some other way to come? I hear so many evangelists today preaching, believe. Believe. And that's all they preach. Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Repent. Jesus preached in one verse, and then another, and then another, and he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He repeated the words, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. How can men who call themselves evangelists, sent from God, preach faith without repentance? That's doing it their own way. The Bible says repent. You know what that necessitates? That necessitates a search of the heart and an opening of the heart before God, letting him examine your heart and expose, reveal to you, show you what you are and how desperately you need a Savior, until you are shaking and trembling and crying and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what repentance is. Brother Lee used to teach us, repentance is being so sorry you did something, you never do it again. So sorry that you did something wrong, you never do it again. That's what that man who founded this church used to teach us when we were children in the church. And I appreciated that, and he impressed it on my mind. I've never forgotten it. Because it keeps you repenting. Praise the Lord. But he, being dead, yet speaketh. And the message he is speaking is, do it God's way, Cain. Do it God's way, Abel. Abel did it God's way, obediently. Cain did it his own way, disobediently. Peter preached repent, and then he preached baptize. We have evangelists today, world famous evangelists, that make baptism optional. You go to the church of your choice, and you listen to your pastor. If he doesn't preach baptism, I'd come out of the church of your choice and get in one that preaches the Word of God. This idea about go back to your church, I'd say get out of that church. Amen. Abandon it. Get everybody else out of there you can save. The Bible says repent. There is no way to be saved without repentance. Be baptized. Oh, now don't tell me you're going to say you got to be baptized to be saved. Okay, I won't say it. I'll let Jesus say it. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus Christ said. He gave no hope to anybody that refused to be baptized. Then I think it's very important that we find out how to be baptized. The right way to be baptized. Baptism The very word baptizo in the Greek means to immerse, to overwhelm, to cover completely, to make wholly wet. How can you get around that? And you don't even need your Strong's Concordance to figure that out. The Bible says we are buried with him in baptism. And we make it optional? I don't think those evangelists are sent from God. Philip was an evangelist sent from God, and he went down to a certain city and baptized them in the name of Jesus, the Bible says. Amen. It is absolutely necessary that we repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You can repent. That's your part. I can baptize you. That's my part. But only God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's his part. Praise the Lord. And when we come any other way, we're thieves, we're robbers, we're crooked. Trying to sneak in some door that isn't Jesus. He's the way. He's the door. He's the truth. He's the life. How can we make these things optional? Who do we think we are? We're dealing with the everlasting Word of God. I'm okay, you're okay. Everybody's okay. Nobody's wrong. And that thing has boiled down to where nobody's a sinner. And if you preach sin, you're to our children, you're a guilty of child abuse. That's what they're saying today. It's crazy the way this thing has gone. Repent and be baptized according to the church of your own choice. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then you've repented, I've baptized you, or the preacher has baptized you, and he fills you with the Holy Ghost. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. For the promise is unto you and to your children, now that are afar off. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Abel brought his offering. He confessed himself a sinner. He confessed his need of a Savior, obviously, because his faith pleased God. And God accepted his gift. And God testified of his gifts. And Abel is dead, but he is yet speaking. He is yet preaching to us. And he's warning us to come to God humbly, to come to God obediently in faith, confessing and worshiping and doing it his way, not our way. And then I think he's preaching a warning to Christians that we may be called upon to seal our testimony with our blood. We better be ready for that. I'm not smiling at the prospect of being persecuted and being killed. But if we're faithful unto death, beyond the persecution, beyond the martyrdom, is a place called heaven. Now, if that doesn't bring a smile on your face, you are sick. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody say smile.
Smile.
Everybody say sick.
Sick.
Everybody say, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm smiling. Praise the Lord. Not at the prospect of suffering, not at the prospect of persecution, not at the prospect of being martyred. No, that doesn't bring a smile to my face. Jesus didn't say smile when they persecute you. He said flee. If they persecute you in this city, flee to another city. That's what Jesus taught on it. But oh, beyond the persecution of Stephen. I mean, what did I do? Praise the Lord. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, holy angels, the Son of God, all the faithful that have gone on before you, waiting, it's all waiting over there. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. By it, he being dead is yet preaching to us. We better hear what Abel has to say. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Time is up.